This is John Costa of Ellihan Media, and I'm here at the Rifles Club in Davis Street in London for the book launch of Ice, Steel and Fire, which is all about British explorers in between peacetime and the war, 1921 to 1945. And it's been authored by Linda Parker, and I've been joined by Linda now. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening.
So tell us a little bit about the motivation behind actually writing Ice, Steel and Fire.
Well, I've always been fascinated by polar exploration, and having read quite a bit about the heroic explorers, I went into the 20s and 30s and found that there were quite a few people whose stories hadn't been told, And then I found that they'd gone on and done some very exciting things in the Second World War. And I thought this was a story that really needed telling, A, their new methods of exploration in the 20s and 30s, and how they all went on to use those skills in their service in the Second World War.
Because I think if we think of polar explorers, we'll think of sort of, you know, Scott, Shackleton, yes. Amundsen, all those kind of people. And then there was this whole swathe of people, if you like, a sort of a good sort of 20 to 30 year period of time, who ultimately, all of those skills learned, like you said, equipment developed, all came together to be used in all of which we now know as British Special Forces in World
Indeed,
War II.
Yes.
Tell me one particular story that stuck out for you or sort of resonated with something.
Well, I think they're all fascinating, but for example, Andrew Croft did the Trans-Greenland expedition in 1933-34. He was a dog expert, dog handler. Then he went with Sandy Glenn, another one of my men, to the Spitsbergen expedition. He learned a terrific about conditions on the ice cap, polar survival, the use of initiative, leadership. I think leadership is something that comes out particularly in all these the stories of all these men, their skills of initiative and leadership.
Now, we often think as well about periods of wartime because of the acceleration of technology or the development of technology to fight wars ultimately leads to breakthroughs in development, which we see in peacetime. So, for example, they were saying, you know, the burns from sort of the Battle of Britain led to sort of plastic surgery, whereas what we've actually got here is people being able to survive and live under extremes of conditions during wartime due to their almost boyish approach to it comes to exploring the world.
It's an attitude of mind. I think it's a definite attitude of mind that they carried forward from their exploration into their wartime experiences.
Now, I was thinking of reading some of the books by Ranulph Fiennes as well, who'd obviously gone through 21 SAS and he'd gone off and done some stuff Oman, and then he'd taken that exploration side as well. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's something about that spirit of adventure that's, you know, quintessentially British or English that weaves us all together when you look at a book covering this period of time?
Yeah, it would seem to be something that's particularly British. I mean, not that I want to denigrate any other nation's explorers, but yes, it's just that attitude of mind. And Ranulph Fiennes is a modern example. I think Bear Grylls is another modern example of somebody who's been in special forces and then done it the other way around. But yes, it's definitely transferable skills, I think they call them.
Is it something you think that we've lost from our society, that desire to explore? You mentioned those kind of high-profile people, but it's almost, it seems to be, you have to do it bigger, faster, longer, more extreme. And we've got this thing at the moment where people are trying to join things together, like, you know, so seven marathons in seven continents and things like that.
It's possibly because there are no really places that aren't known now, so they have to find other ways of getting that excitement or adrenaline. I think there's a distinction now between adventure and exploring. And unfortunately, there's not many places to explore. You have to do it on your own or unsupported or with some...
So outside of this book, what does Linda Parker do normally? You know, this is a very fascinating subject for someone like this to be interested in. Was there a hook for you? Was it just the subject matter because it was unique to explore?
Not really. I mean, my research speciality is into war years and Anglican Army chaplains, so this came out of the blue. It's just purely recreational. Of interest, as you know, it's polar explorers and it's Second World War, and to me they're both fascinating. So if you can get them, I'm hoping lots of people would think if you get them in both in one book, then that'd be good.
Yeah, a bit of a hook. So is this your first book that you've had published, or are you a published author already?
Well, I've had one book published with Helen before, which was about Anglican Army chaplains in the First World War. It's called The Whole Armour of God, but that was 2010, I think.
Okay. And how long does it take you to research a book like this? Has it been since that book in 2010? So is it 3 years worth of work?
Yes, I think so. Yes, and I've kept doing a lot of other things as well. So it's sort of been, you know, it's a sort of hobby book. Okay. While I haven't been doing other things.
And have you got relaxation? I'm sure that was quite a lot of effort. So what's the next thing on the horizon? Is it something that Hellion can publish? Is it a sort of military related subject?
I believe so. I've got a few projects discussing with Duncan. One is the biography of Toby Clayton, First World War chaplain. And I've got a really good idea for another Second World War book, which is just formulating in my mind. So I'm hoping, yes.
The fascination with the chaplains and stuff, is it that mix of God and war fighting? Is it, you know, the challenging of one's faith? And
I think both are related. I think it's how human beings react under stress of war or of exploration. It's just a human reaction. I think that's the link between them all. But yes, I've got a sort of religious background. Mm-hmm. My father was a TA army chaplain, so
So that kind of runs through some of your research. Well, Linda, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to buying a copy, and hopefully you can sign it for me. And I hope you enjoy this evening.
Thank you very much.